The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Just lift your hands and just let's pray in the Holy Ghost. And just bless. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Just bless Him. Thank Him. Honor Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you are eminently glorious, immaculately beautiful. I can go on and on, on and on. But my words are not enough. My vocabulary. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lead me to Christ.
Yes.
If I hold
you are eminently glorious.
You are eminently glorious.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Immaculately beautiful.
I can go
on and on, on and on.
For my words are not enough. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
My vocabulary is prepared. Beautiful.
Oh yes,
I can go on and on. vocabulary is proclaiming. For beneath me to cry, Iba wo, Iba.
Sit thou and worthy, O Lord. To receive
glory, honor, and power.
Thank you, Lord.
For thou art created. For things
and
for thy pleasure.
Yes.
They are.
Yes.
And get
thou art worthy, Lord.
Thou art worthy, O Lord.
Worthy, O Lord,
to receive glory, honor, and power.
And power.
For thou art created.
Oh, yes. Say you are worthy of it all. Let me hear you say
you are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of every praise that we can give, every worship that we can bring, every offering that we can give Jesus.
You are worthy of it all.
Come from you are of it. Say you are worthy of it all. Can you say
you are worthy of it all?
Wherever you are, with your hands lifted to heaven, with your eyes focused on Jesus this evening,
come on. You are worthy of it all.
Everything comes from Him. Even we are His products, and He was made for His glory. Come on.
For from you are all.
My exceeding joy.
You are the one to be. To God, my exceeding joy. You are the one.
Very simple, so let's do it again. Say to God my exceeding joy, to
God,
All over this place with your hands lifted to heaven. Say you are. Say to God my exceeding joy,
to God my exceeding joy.
You are. One more time, I want to hear you sing it again. Say to God my exceeding joy,
to
exceeding joy to
God,
all over this place.
My exceeding joy, you are the world.
Sing it one more time. Say to God, my exceeding joy
to
exceeding joy to
God,
yeah,
my exceeding joy. You are the world.
One last time now, with all your strength, with your heart focused on Him, sing to Jesus in this place. Come on. These things this evening.
Thank you.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised me.
And I rejoice today. I shall recover it all.
And I rejoice today.
I just said that song in my spirit.
I shall recover.
Reaping the harvest, I'm
reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the devil stole from me, and I rejoice today. I shall recover.
I'm reaping the harvest.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised me.
I'm taking back what the devil stole.
That says, thank you, Lord Jesus. Because I heard that song for someone. So lend me your ears. Know that song? Thus says the Lord. Just know that my words, it will not return void. Deposit this word. There is no need to fear. I'm restoring
the years
you sow in tears. Restoring the years you sow in tears. I'm restoring
the years you sow.
God says, I am the potter, the writer of times. Just know that my words, it will not return void, that I might sustain. There's no need to fear and restore.
Sing two more times.
I'm
restoring the years,
restoring the years you sow.
Sing it again.
Restoring the years,
restoring the years you sow in tears. Restoring the years you sow in tears.
For he's the Alpha and Omega. He's a miracle working God. He's the Alpha and Omega. Jesus is a miracle. He's a miracle working God. He's a miracle walking God. He's the Alpha.
We serve a miracle walking God. We've seen a miracle walking God. And he's the Alpha and Omega. Jesus is a miracle walking God. He's a miracle walking God. He's a miracle walking God. Oh, he's my Father and I'm his Son. Oh, he's a miracle walking God. He's a miracle walking God. He's a miracle walking God. He's the Alpha and Omega. Aya. He's a miracle walking God. We serve a miracle walking God. We serve a miracle walking God. He's the Alpha. And Omega. He's a miracle walking God. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's a miracle walking God. Ibu beki juri be. Ibu beki ojuruwa. Ibu beki ebegia. Ibu beki dingos. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever till my righteous soul shall find rest beyond the reach. My soul has found a resting place, not in device nor grief. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me sharply, so I need no other argument. I need no one other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. Doctor, Omero nyona digere, isi neba neko fwahia, bule ni isi belu, oma mama siyamasi yesuku, inona Jerusalem kuoku, yaka mezwe na kapanyo. Ogo kibara mnepe nzuzo, isi na kagidi keno na rumo, iyo masiro njiro yame, meribu nkemo. Isi nebane kofwa hiya, webulisi mwabwenyeli, iyo masiro njiro yame, meribu nkemo. Dadi midye bube, doctor, omero nyona degire, isi nebane kofwa hiya, Pule ni si melu. Oma mama si amasi yesuku. Inona Jerusalem kuoku. Yaka mezwe na kapanyo. Aya. Jehova mi die bube. Jehova e. Jehova. Jehova e. Jehovah. 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 Darkness, we await without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and promise to a virgin gave the Lord from a throne of. In the darkness, we are waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, now of mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophet, to a virgin gave the word from a throne. To a crown.
yes.
Faithful, ever true, the King of Kings.
holding this torch light. It's not like torch. This, if you've ever seen an Olympic event, as a torch. You know what I'm saying? Something like that is a torch, the light. I saw that in the spirit. You know, and I saw that being handed over to someone. And I was trying to, all through while I was singing, I was trying to search through my spirit to find out what is this about. But one of the Lord said to me, saying, the course of this meeting, there's going to be a distribution of grace, especially for leadership. For leadership. So in this meeting, hand of God is going to come for some of you. You know, everything that can be done carnally can be done supernaturally. So that is supernatural leadership. For every leader that was ever appointed in the Bible, they were anointed. So there's an anointing for leadership. Every leader, for Joshua, Joshua was picked, he was anointed for it. So I saw that in the spirit. Many of you, this anointing will rest upon you, and God will begin to pass you through some process. Because some of you, it will manifest in like 3 months' time, some of you, 1 year time, but it will rest upon some of you. It's not now. When the time comes, you will see. And many of you to begin to manifest. Some of you, God will begin to take you through some process, some training, some exposures. But I saw that torch. We handed over to, it was one, then I saw it given to a couple of friends. The Lord said that is leadership. And there's a grace for it. And it's going to be released. You can lead from your head. You can lead from the spirit. Yes. And some of you that know, you know, there's some of you that I'm going to, if God allows me, I'm going to lay hands on some of you specially this evening. For that particular stuff. A few of you that God has shown me in the spirit. Some of you are already aware, some of you are not aware. But there's a grace of leadership. It will rest mightily. To rest mightily. This thing is not by the flesh. One of the things that grace carries is wisdom. It carries wisdom. Wisdom to make decisions. The true strength of a leader is tested when he has to make difficult decisions. But that's what that grace does. Do you get it now? That's what Solomon carried when he had two children, or two women rather, claiming one child. It was that wisdom, that leadership thing. We have a difficult thing. That's one thing it carries. Another thing it commands followership. That grace commands followership. When it rests upon you, people want to walk with you. They want to talk to you. They want to answer you. You call, they follow. Are you following me? People have a proverb. That's the picture in the spirit. What it means in English is, the one that has the palm front is the one that the goat will follow. Once he waves that palm front, the goat follows. There's a grace of leadership that commands followership without manipulation, without forcing people, without saying anything. It's a grace. Many of you that are team leads here have to pray, because the Lord just showed me that in the spirit. And somewhere in this meeting, we're going to release that flow. And you need it to rest upon you so that you don't force things. As long as even in your secular places, in your company and all of that, you can carry that grace there. You are followable. Makes you followable. Now when you start, people want to cooperate with you. It's like a magnetic pull. And a magnetic force that pulls people. And they want to work with you. They want to answer you. One of the things I give for leadership, leadership is the ability to for people to do what you want them to do, and they're doing it without complaining. And yet you're not forcing them. You're not even paying them. But they're just doing it. That's leadership. That's leadership. And the Lord said that grace is going to be released this evening. And for many of you, I'm sure it's not for everybody, and everybody wants it, but I know it's for everybody. But a few persons the Lord has shown me, but I know there are many people here that by desire they will pull it. Are you following me? Yes. I saw that in the spirit. My body, what is happening this evening? This night, you know, when yesterday I said we're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting. What is a Holy Ghost meeting? Holy Ghost meeting is a meeting. There's nothing special about, okay, there's something special about it. But it's just a meeting where we gather and we obey the teaching of the word and all of that. But the key thing about it is that the Holy Ghost is leading and directing. So what it means is there may not be a fixed pattern for the meeting. You can come for a Holy Ghost meeting and you sing throughout and you go. That some others you come and will just jump up and go. That sometimes you come and just rejoice, having petitions. But at the end of the day, believers are edified. Jesus is glorified. Needs are met. Are you getting the point? We are encouraged.
and we live through the door of rejoicing. So in this evening, these meetings like this, what do? Just be open for anything. Follow what is happening. Whatever I do, do it. If we start running, run. If we start praying, pray. If I start teaching, listen. If I interrupt you to the song, sing. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost speaking. There's nothing, it's not big English. Just means we let the Holy Ghost. Of course, all our meetings in a sense are Holy Ghost meetings because Holy Ghost leads and directs. But in meetings like this, we just let him. Let me say this to you before. I just have an hour or so to let us go. But let me say this. The enemy of the better is the good. You know, right? And so whatever experience you think you've had with God, there is more. See, if you get stuck with whatever you think you've experienced, it will become a hindrance to what God is bringing your way this evening. That's the truth. The enemy of the better is the good. What's the enemy of the best? But the enemy of the best is the best. The former best you think you experienced. That you think was the climax. That will be the enemy of the next great thing God is bringing to your life. Because people can be just stuck to that thing. And that's all. Say, we've seen it all. You've not even seen anything. Are you following me? So that's what you think is your best to become the enemy of the next best that God is bringing your way. It's going to be a great evening. It's getting great already. Hallelujah. Open your ears. What do you mean by that? Open your heart. Open your spirit. Stay connected. Pray. There are things God will put in your spirit. There are things the Lord will ask you to help out. There are things the Lord will help you to do. We ask you to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And when he asks you to do it, you just cooperate and do it. Help out. Get up. Get up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Let the days the Lord has shown you manifest soon. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So open yourself up. It could be anything. Needs will be met in many ways that you know. But no, we could come and we'll just sing and we go. So it's not a waste of time. I taught you some time ago, singing is not what we do to wait for the message. And I told you that. Yeah. It's a full part of the service. If I lead you to sing for 1 hour and I drop the mic and go, I don't feel bad. I tell you, I don't feel bad. Because after that singing, testimonies will start pouring in. Yes. Except that's not what God wants us to do. If that's what he wants us to do, once we are done with it, watch what is going to happen. So there's a grace for leadership coming. And we're going to release it. Very soon. Very soon. The reason the Lord is saying to me, there are many of us, a few of you, even in your secular place, there's a promotion coming. And the Lord said, I will grace you ahead of time for it. So you'll be able to lead when it comes. Yes. There's a few of you, there's a promotion coming. He said, I will grace you ahead of time. Many of you say, it's a new ministry responsibility. But the Lord wants to grace you for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift your hands and bless him. I'm going to teach now. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare. You know that song?
Every knee shall bow at your throne.
Yes, come on.
In worship you'll be exalted, O God.
Yes, 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 yes.
Has called us, you remember, to transmit this life we carry. We do not just have life. So we saw that yesterday, we should also give life. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, verse 45, you know, that the first man, Adam, were you here yesterday? Was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. A quickening, a spirit that gives life. Now, that's not strange to understand. We can be excited, oh, Jesus is a life-giving spirit. But what gets more interesting, that when you get to verse 47 and 48, it now tells us, it now describes two races. So that is the first race. So the first man is of the earth, that's Adam. So Adam is of the earth. Then there is a second man, which is the Lord from heaven. Now, it goes to verse 49 to tell us, 48 rather, that as is the earthly, such are they that are earthly. And so as is the heavenly, such they are they also that are heavenly. Telling you that there are some people who are from the first Adam, and there are others from the last Adam. Are you following me? And those that are of the last Adam, give me like, I'm very classical, maybe NLT of this. Those that are of the first Adam are earthly. He said those who are made of the dust are like him who was first made of the dust. That's Adam. That's the first man. He's of the dust. He said, and is the man from heaven, so also are they from heaven. So that is it. There are two races. There are men from God, from Adam, and there are men from Christ. Because Jesus is at the last Adam. So he started a new race. And the order, you know, what you find in the first Adam is found in everyone that is from his race. What you find in the last Adam is found in everyone from that race. And in the last Adam, we see that the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. So everyone that is from that race has the capacity to also give life. So we're looking at it yesterday, that everything that God worked out in us in redemption, all the beautiful realities we have, they are not just there for us to have and to enjoy and to rejoice. They are there for us to also use them to impact and influence other people. So God did not just give us these things for ourselves. Yes, we are going to have to enjoy them. For instance, God has filled us with his love, his life. We should enjoy it. But it's not just for us. So start with, we were looking at it yesterday. These things are too much. It is because it's the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can't exhaust them in one lifetime. So he filled you with all of those so that you can use it to reach others. Are you getting the point? That's why I was saying yesterday, the reason God gave you righteousness or gave you salvation is not just for you to have it and say, I have it. It's so that through you, another person will be blessed too. And so you see what the principle is this. Anything God makes you, he also gives you the ability to make others. So we saw that in 2 Corinthians 5. I heard it during the recap. Bible said, we have been, verse 18. He said, all things are of God who has reconciled us to God. That's a beautiful thing. God, we are reconciled to God. But he didn't stop there. He said, he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So what he did to us, we say we should go and do to others. The same way we are reconciled to God, we should also do it to others. So everything he works out in you, he empowers you to do the same to others. Are you following me? That's why he told them in John 20 verse 23 that, you know, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted.
Whosoever sins you retain, that retain. In other words, the believer is saddled with the responsibility to actually remit people's sins or retain them. You say, how will he be able to do that? Very simple. If he preaches the gospel to someone, he's remitting the person's sin. Because he's offering that person an opportunity to receive salvation and forgiveness of sins. If he refuses to preach the gospel, he is retaining the person's sin. So we can remit sin, we can retain sin. So I can meet someone and remit the person's sin. It doesn't mean I am the forgiver. Maybe I'm Jesus. No, I'm not. But it means that I have what it takes to offer this person forgiveness, and I can refuse to offer it. So what I'm saying is, everything God gives you, everything he works out in you, can this sound better? I'm actually straining my voice. Everything he does for you and he works out in you, he does it to the end that you do the same for others. So for instance, since you've received salvation, you should also play a role in offering others salvation. That's what I'm saying. And yes, I was saying, don't say things like, I can't do it, I don't know how to do it. No. No. The secret is simple. If you have received it, you can give it. It's as simple as that. That's why when we say, let's come preach the gospel, people say, well, it's for pastors. I don't think so. You saw that scripture we saw yesterday. Jesus said to Paul, I want you to go. That's Acts 26, verse 15. He said, you will be a witness of the things which I have shown you and the things which I will still show you. That's how ministry works. So if there is something God has shown you, you must go around the world bearing witness of the things that he has shown you, then he will now begin to show you other things. And so it's not a question of, I said Acts 26 verse 15. It's not a question of, I don't know what to say. Whatever he has shown you, begin to share it. So he said, now go to verse 16 now. He said, rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear to you. So there are things you've seen, there are things I will still show you. But you have to start with the one I've shown you. And so it's as simple as meeting someone and sharing with the person that Jesus died for me on the cross. And he saved me. And if you believe, he can save you too. As simple as that can change anybody. You know, I've said this many times. The simplest line of the gospel can save the toughest of sinners. The simplest line. If I have to add to that statement, the simplest line of the gospel spoken by the newest of believers can save the toughest of sinners. I mean the fresh converts that just got born again now, doesn't even know anything. And the simplest line of the gospel can save the toughest sinner. And I've seen that happen many times. That you can just share the little you know. And that's why you look at the life of Apostle Paul. Immediately in Acts chapter 9, after he had that encounter on the way to Damascus, and then he met with Ananias, which we're going to look at a little before I start praying with you. He met with Ananias. You know, Ananias prayed for him and opened his eyes. Of course, not the Ananias that Peter killed. Are you aware? There are two Ananias in the Bible. Ananias is a regular name. Do you understand? So he met with Ananias. Ananias ministered to him in Acts chapter 9. Praise God. And verse 17, Ananias went his way and I wanted to watch the progression. Went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him and said, Brother Paul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately, everybody watch this. Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul setting this with the disciples which were at Damascus. Everybody read verse 20 with me. What did the Bible say? And straightway he preached Christ. That same immediately. Because that's what Jesus told him. He told him, just start saying the one you know. Straightway, he realized that if I've received this life, I can give it. So from day one, immediately he met the disciples in Damascus. He preached so much that they began to try to kill him. He became a threat from day one of salvation. Like he became a threat to sin, to the kingdom of darkness from day one. Because we did not just receive this life so that we can just celebrate. We receive this life so that we can give it to others. We receive it, and others can benefit from it. From day one, immediately he began to preach. Straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues. Now, I like the fact that the Bible said he preached Christ where? Talk to me, where? So he was not preaching in his lodge. You don't get it. He wasn't preaching on that day. From that day, he appeared before everybody. In the synagogue, people gather in mass. He began to preach in public places. From day one. Because if you have received Christ, you can minister him. If you've received life, you can give life. Any carrier of life is a life giver. That's the difference between the life of Christ and the life in human beings. Remember I said that yesterday? The life that a human being carries, he can't give it on. If you give somebody your life, you will die. Yes. I give myself this day. If you give somebody your kidney, you're going to die. If you say you love the person, give the person two, you will die. Even once, if you may not survive. So if you give it out, you're going to die. Well, the life we have in Christ, we can give it. Right? And we still have it in full. Straightway, he preached Christ. So I'm not a fan of, not everybody can preach the gospel. I really don't believe in that. And that's not because the Bible says so, because I began to preach as a small boy. And from day one. And I've been preaching till now. Everybody can preach the gospel. Everybody can give life to another. Everybody. 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 Me, you, we. Are you getting the point? Because we have, the only person that cannot give life is one that does not have it. If you have this Zoe life, you can give it. So if you are born again, you can get another person born again. In simple English, that's what I'm saying. In simple terms. If you are born, except you are not born again. If you are born again, you can give another person that same salvation. And that we established this today, and I'm still insisting that everything and anything that you have in this life of God can be given to another. So let me make another statement, which is also part of what I said yesterday. Everything you've received in Christ is not just for your benefit. It's also to profit others. So think of everything we've been teaching from day one since we started this meeting. Think of all those wonderful things I mentioned that we have. For instance, I'm going to look at that intelligence. Remember I mentioned that intelligence right here? That intelligence we have in Christ, the ability to know, the ability to see, the ability to solve. All of that is not for your good. It's not just for you. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not just for you. Imagine God filled you with that ability to know things. And you think you just need it for yourself. I want to see my future and see my past. Is it just for you? What's the point? 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7, it said the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, that is old English. Do you know what withal means? To profit withal. Who is withal? Is that somebody's name? So let's see other translations of this. He said, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So, nobody receives a gift from God for himself alone. Nobody. Nobody. That is the point. That's the secret. Nobody. Yes, that gift will come through for you in some way. It will. For instance, the ability to know by the Spirit. You can use it for your personal life. I've taught you how to. You want to travel. You can pray in the Holy Ghost and know whether you should go or you shouldn't go. That is using it for yourself. Like what I'm saying now. Are you following me? You can want to marry. Use it for yourself when you want to marry. Pray the Holy Ghost and know what God is saying. Now, beautiful. But there is more. It is given so we can help each other. So we can help each other. To profit with her. To profit others. So all those wonderful things that you've received, every time you hear me teach of a beautiful reality we have in Christ, remember, even if I talk about it or not, it's not just for you. When you hear we have authority, all of that, you think it's just for you? How many demons will you face in your lifetime? Now I'm going to tell you, you're not going to face a lot of demons in your lifetime. Are you aware? You're not going to face a lot. Is a demon place for this one? I don't think so. We just think that demons are everywhere. You know what I was telling you guys? That Satan is not everywhere. I hope you know. Satan is one place now, currently. And it's not in this building. It's not prayer. You know, when I say this, people like Satan. Satan can be everywhere. Satan is not omnipresent. Only God has that capacity. So if Satan is in Australia now, he's inside one house. That's the only place he can be. Now. Inside that house. Not here. So can I say this to you? Many of you will live and die and never meet Satan in your life. It's as simple as that. Are you following me? I'm telling you. Because the point, whenever you hear Satan, people think he's everywhere. No, there are demons operating everywhere. But like Satan, not everywhere. And that demon can be one place at a time. If a demon is here, cannot be here and be there, and be there, and be there, and be there. Now, what I'm saying is, how many demons will you fight in your life? That you are using all the authority that God gave you for. So I need authority. I need authority. I have authority. Why? Any demon that comes near my dwelling place, I show him shaking. What if no demon comes to your dwelling place in 2 years? So you will never exercise your authority in Christ. No. He wasn't given just for you. Let me say this to you. You see, around your place, you're a believer now, Abi. You're learning the gospel. I'm going to make this very clear to you. There is very minimized demonic activity around you. It doesn't matter how you feel. I'm telling you the reality. There are places you will go to. You will see demon. There are committees that as you are entering, you can already feel the heaviness of evil spirits in the place. Those are the places God gave you authority for. There are families that you are entering. I know if your family has challenges. But there are families you enter, you will see challenge and you will run. You see challenge. Demonic activity. You get to a place, mother is sick, father, not small sickness, serious sickness, mother is sick, children are sick, all the kids born in the family, one is either blind, the other one is deaf, the other one is crippled. In one family. You cannot doubt that there's a demonic influence here. But you don't want to, you just want to have use your authority for yourself, inside your room, commanding your gas not to finish, commanding your garri to multiply, commanding, what else? See this gas, you will serve me for 5 more days. In Jesus' name. That's what people think they just use authority for. Just for themselves. You know, there's a level of selfishness in every human being. Every human being. They just think. So if I do a 30-day meeting, and what I'm teaching for the whole 30 days is how to help your neighbor. By the time we are getting to day 15, somebody is saying, tell us something. He said, do how to help our neighbor. But if I do a 30-day meeting and it's about how to be rich, even if I do this for 100 days, once what I'm saying is working, you will keep showing up. Yes. So there's a level of selfishness that the love of God has to deal with in you. Are you following me, friends? Where you think that all that God has given you is for you. Because when I was teaching about spiritual intelligence, you are so excited. And truthfully, you should be excited. You can use it for yourself. You can use it to find your missing phone. To find. Are you blessed by that teaching? Yes, sir. Excellent stuff. That we can actually know the future. We are not confused. We can know what to do with that. It's fine. But it's not just for you. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not just for you. It is given to profit without. Glory to God. So you look at all the people that carry that intelligence. They used it to benefit. Let me give an example. Joseph carried that intelligence. He used it in Egypt. Of course, by using that intelligence, he made him rich. He made him a prime minister. But he didn't use it for himself primarily. He used it to solve Pharaoh's problem and solve the problem of the entire Egypt. In fact, the entire world. In return, he became a prime minister. But he didn't use it because he wanted to be a prime minister. Are you following the point? God doesn't grace you just for you. Because you will not have many problems in this life. That's what I'm saying. That's the truth. He needed it. So all the times you saw Joseph, of course, he had 2 dreams in Egypt before he was sold. And he interpreted those dreams. Whatever that place you see him interpret those dreams, it was for others. For the 2 guys he met in prison, and then for Pharaoh. And then he began to use that intelligence to solve problems. You look at Daniel too, the same thing. You look at Noah too. Noah was told to build an ark. You know, we saw Noah, for instance. He received the building of an ark supernaturally. That's one of the most beautiful things, beautiful supernatural intelligence I've seen in the Bible. The fact that Noah has never seen an ark, never seen a sheep before. He went to prayer. God told him about the sheep, gave him my measurements, dimension. Get this wood, use this kind of wood. Look at, and he got it right. And it was a full sheep. But notice, he wasn't doing that for himself. In fact, when you look at the ark that Noah built, it was so big. You can check the measurement. It was so big. So it tells you, God never planned that only Noah and his family will be inside. Are you following me? Because if it was just about him and his family, he would have told him to make one small, just one room, 12 feet. One room is 12 by what? What is it? 12 by what? 12 by 10? What are these engineers that are playing drums and keyboard? So he says, I'm not a civil engineer. I know the excuse. So I think it's 12 by 10, Abi. Or nowhere. He just say yes. So he leave me alone. It's 12 by 10. You know, 12 by 10, Abi. So if all he needed was to save his family, they were just eight. Him, his wife, his children, and their wife, just eight of them. One room is enough. But look at that large ark, because his plan was not so that he can use that to save his family alone. When Sodom was about to be destroyed, when the angel came to Lot and told Lot that Sodom will be destroyed, he told him to look for people. So Lot went around telling people to join him to escape. They refused. So God never actually gives you anything for yourself alone. Are you what I'm saying? He gave you that information and said, go and begin to tell others. So he was going up and down. The fire will burn down this place. Let's go. They say, which fire? Fire is fire coming from. I'm not going anywhere. So God never intended that the information he gave Lot was going to be used for Lot alone and his family. And that's what I'm saying to you. All this blessing you have in Christ, or even on Sunday we're talking about tongues and interpretation, it's not just for you. It is actually for others. Let me say this to you. 90% of the time, what you will use for yourself is just your inward witness. As per leading, I'm telling you. Just your inward witness to just know that this is that. All that word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word is actually for others. You will need it only about 10% of the time in your own life. Are you following me, friends? Yeah, because sometimes as you train your spirit, you just know by the spirit that, okay, I should do this, I shouldn't do this, I should do this. But all those hearing and all of that is for others. So God doesn't grace you for you. So I can see in the spirit, it's not for you. We must give that life. Are you following me? It's for others. So almost every place you see word of knowledge and word of wisdom, all this seen in the spirit used in the Bible, it was to benefit other people. And I can show you a few. Jesus, for instance, used it for that woman by the well, Samaritan woman by the well, in John chapter 4, where Jesus told her, go and call your husband. And the woman said, I don't have a husband. He said, you are right, because you've had four husbands. I mean, five husbands, rather. He said, but the one you're living with now is not even your husband. And Jesus knew by the Spirit that the woman had some marital issues. Now, what did he produce? That thing opened the woman up to Jesus' ministry, and she received salvation. So Jesus didn't use it for himself. You get what I'm saying now? Now, of course, Jesus used those gifts for himself a few times. If you know, we've looked at all of that a few times. You know, he was a powerful man. There was a time they caught him to kill him. He left. He used it a lot for himself. But then it was also for the benefit of others. He knew things and used what he knew to help people. So the question is, how have you used whatever God has done in your life to help others? If I take this teaching further, that's where you realize that if you ever become rich, even physically. Now, what I'm saying is a general statement. There is nothing God gives that is for you. If you become rich, that money is not for you. It's for others. Yes. God doesn't give anybody. Now, think about this. A single man, God begins to increase you. You and your family. You have 10 billion naira, 100 billion. So the question is, forget your crazy desires. Do you need up to that amount in your lifetime? The answer is no. I'm just telling you, forget that you want to build 10 houses. You need to build these houses. You live in one per time. Now think about that. If you have 50 cars, servicing convoy, but you sit inside one, in fact, one side of the seat. Yes. At the end of the day, I'll buy 10 suits. You can wear one per time. Or you put on one suit and another one on top, another one on top. Then, even if you dress like that, we'll be seeing one. The one under will not see. Everything, every time God gives you anything lavishly, just know that He's thinking of other people. Do you get what I say now? Every time God gives you something lavishly, just know He's thinking of other people. Whether it is money, whether it is grace, whether it's anointing, whatever you call it, every time you have that lavish deposit, for instance, in salvation, we are giving things lavishly. The unsearchable riches of Christ, all those plenty things, it's not for you, it's for others. It's for others. I've taught this, some of you that know me, I'm no longer doing that. When I used to have a lot of time for people one on one, you can't be around me, for instance, as a son or a daughter, and you have 3 phones. Some of you remember, if you've been close to me, I won't let you. You have this. What are you doing with 3 phones? Say, this one is for my Glo, this one for my MTN, this one for my Airtel. Who knows you? How many people really know you that they are calling on those? So then I will force you to give one out. Not to me, no. I've not, no, given anyone to me. I say, look for somebody. Because anything God gives you lavishly is for that. People that got that training that I gave them, He's still helping them today. Because some of them, they did it crying. I say, look for, if I give out the list, the one you don't need. Because I don't know if there is one that you don't need. But you want to have 3 phones at home, three in the office, 2 in your car, and 1 for emergency. And then, so what are you doing with all of those things? Praise God. If I take this matter far, we might fight. So let me just stop it. But I wanted to touch women now. So how many shoes is lavishly for a woman? How many shoes is lavish for you? From what number do we agree that you now have is lavishly? From 100. Do you know, it was when I was in school, I never knew that a woman could have, now I know, practically, experientially, but I never knew a woman could have up to 15 shoes. They are teaching the fellowship and somebody said, the preacher said 15 shoes, and I just started laughing. He said, I'm not up to 15 shoes. So people put up their hand. And it wasn't a joke, we went for visitation, I saw the shoes. He said, how do you see it? It's student's room, now one room. 15 shoes. So I'm surprised that I'm surprised. But I was surprised. So lavish has context. So how many shoes will be lavish? But at the end of the day, make sure you're not keeping things that you don't need. That's why to be a man is so sweet. A man is so sweet. You also have a few things here and there. It doesn't mean you should have only one. I'm just saying, now this is how I actually think. My wife can tell you, once I just noticed things, I just came, I said, it's a normal thing. I asked, we should start giving this thing. I don't like, because I don't know, they don't seem to just lie there, they're not doing anything. And you'll be shocked, they will spoil. Yes, they will spoil because you are not going to use them. How many places do you go to in your life? You go to work from Monday to Friday, you're wearing a flat shoe throughout. You have wedding only on Saturday. Church on Sunday. Where else do you go to? Glory to God. But that's the mentality. That's how I think anyway.
That's how I think. Even as a church, if I get in here and I find out there are things that are here that are too much, we will never need it, just push them out. Because at the end of the day, anything is something I've learned. It's the character of God. Anything he gives you lavishly is not for you alone. It's for others. Because God doesn't waste resources. Have you not heard that from me? God doesn't waste resources. So if he gives you too much, it's because someone else, you have to be a channel. There's a thing I'm going to do for you guys I've been promising. But it's not in this meeting. Obviously not in this meeting again. But it's something about this thing people call kingdom financiers and all of that. I mean, all those kind of things. Givers, ministry of giving. I'm going to do a teaching on that one of these days. Because there are some of you that carry that stuff. And you can find it. You know, if you carry that grace. Giving is what every believer must do, but there's a ministry of giving. There's a special grace for giving. And there are people that have it. And there's a way to find it. One of the ways that God will begin to point to you that you have it is he will always point you towards people that have needs. Always. I get to the point. Always. Always. You will always be noticing people that have needs. And he will always be telling you to help them. And the more you help them, the more he will show you other people. That's one thing. I get to the point. But that's by the way. Back to spiritual gifts. Everything God gives is for others. Even these tongues you are speaking is not only for you. Yes, it will edify you at the end of the day. But after edifying yourself, you should use it for, when you now use it to pray for others, you will not get the interpretation. Which a bulk of it is for others, not for you. People say, I want healing anointing. What do you want to do with it? That if I just fall sick, I'll just use it and command myself. Let me even shock you. You don't need the healing anointing for your healing. Now that's one amazing thing people don't know. You will really need it. Most times what you need for your healing is to learn how to stand on the word of God and receive it by faith. That's all. The healing anointing is majorly for others. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the truth. That's why you can have someone that is a healer, that has the healing anointing, that heals when people and is still sick. It's possible. Because it's not for you. If you don't learn how to receive healing for yourself, you'll be heavily graced for healing, but you will die of the sickness. Are you following me? And that's, let me even digress here. That's why you don't, when a man is anointed, don't judge him by himself. Don't say, if he's anointed to make people rich, why is he still poor? Don't talk like that too. Someone can be heavily anointed to speak words into your life and he doesn't have money. Because that anointing is not for him. He needs to learn how to stand on the word of God and receive financial breakthroughs for himself. There are only a few times that you have to use that anointing for yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you don't get fooled. I've seen many church members miss this. Maybe you are in a small church or a young church that is just starting. Your pastor is still trying to. You know, the days when I struggled financially, there were people I prayed for and they received money millions. Yes. And I didn't have 1,000. But it's the anointing. So I had to begin to learn how to receive things for myself. God graces you for others. So everything you see God working out in your life, it's not just for you to say, oh glory, I have the gift of this. What for? So I can work miracles. Why? So that you can be praying for your phone and praying for your gas that want to finish. No. So how many times will your gas want to finish? You find that there will be minimized use. I get to the point. How many times will your car break down when you lay hands on it? Because for you to need to lay hands on your car, it means your car broke down when you don't have money. Many times your car will break down, you have money, so there will be no need. He says, sir, when my children fall sick, how many times will your children fall sick in one lifetime? Even if they fall sick 500 times in one lifetime, you are still underusing the gift. Are you following me, friends? There is so much we carry. And it's for others. It's for others. It's for others. All these things that I know, that I'll be teaching you, everything I know from God's word, it's not just for me. That's why, listen, once you begin to have abundance of revelation, I mean, you are studying, your eyes are opening, it's not just for you. It's for your consumption. But at the end of the day, you have to share it with others. That's why Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2, he said, the same things
which thou hast heard of me. He said the same, commit to faithful men who will teach others also. That's 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. The same thing you've heard. So that is a hearing, you receive. He said the same, commit to faithful men who will now teach others. So there must be a chain. Are you following me? There must be a chain reaction. If I get, I give you. Give another person. Every time you begin to study your Bible and your eyes opening, you just see. Revelation is pouring in your heart. There is a demand. God will come for everything he gives you. God will demand for every deposit he makes in your life. Take it from me. You may not like this teaching, but it's true. God will demand for everything. You see these 30 days of light? God will demand it. Yes. Everything you've learned, all that has happened, all that he did for you, he will demand. You have to use it for someone. You have to teach someone. You have to help someone. All the graces you receive, God will demand. He will demand them from you. Because he gives you for others. He needs men that will be channels. Are you following me, friends? Through which others can be reached. Through which others can be reached. One strange thing that has happened in my life recently, for like a few months now, I could just be praying and the Lord would say, go study on this. I said, okay, sir. And I'll just study on it. Keep it. Then somewhere along the line, the Lord says, teach on it. Like, there is a full study I did on the glory of God. A part of it is what I shared with you 2 days ago, just a part of it. Now, the Lord told me to do that study. I just did it and kept it. So when I was now working on that teacher, they said, talk about the glory. I said, oh, is that why you asked me to? I get the point. Because everything he shares, he is coming for it. He's coming for it. That's why sometimes if I look at some people, if I look at their lives, I can almost predict where they will end if they follow God. Because I'm already seeing the workings of God in their life now. And I know he will come for those things, those deposits he's making. I know. I follow what I'm saying now. I know. So all this invest, that's why when you hear me talk, I say, all of you are going to be ministers if you continue. It's not, I'm not praying, I'm not wishing. It's something that you already know. There is no way God will make me gather you and be making this kind of heavy investment in your life. Sometimes he will tell us, do this training, do that training. He's going to come for all those things. Because everything he gives you is for a reason. Except you stop, except you don't want to do. It's a different matter. But if you continue with him, every time he deposits your life, it's for a purpose. And somebody needs to hear me this evening. And that's why you realize every time I'm doing impartation, are you ready? You raise your hand. He will come for that he's putting upon you. Yes. There's a healing anointing here now. So I receive. He will come. He will want you to go and pray for the sick. Yes. Because that's the point. He doesn't waste resources. Are you following me, friends? From now, there's a grace of seeing and knowing that you now shall say, amen, I receive, my eyes are open. So that you'll be seeing what? You'll be seeing your exam question. And see, what do you want to do with it? You want to be able to see your exam question before they set it. That's all. That is more. Are you following me? Of course, you're going to see your exam questions a few times. Have I ever seen an exam question? That one, I'm not mad, you know. Sometimes I may not see with my eyes, but I will know. Has ever happened to you? You just know that this one will show. And they better believe you when you tell them. This will come out to read it. Sometimes they will ask you to read it. You finish reading it, it will not come out. Then you forget about it. The next semester exam, from nowhere, the lecturer will lift that question and set it. Some of you have had this particular experience. You say, everybody say, Jesus, they didn't tell us it will show. You read it. Are you going to point? He always does it. Others, you say, read it for this test. You read it, nothing comes out. Then next 5 tests, that man goes back, brings that in. You say, what kind of witch is this? When you see it, all you just need to do is to try to remember, I've read this. It will show. So you use it for it. They work fully. But is that all? So when you're no longer a student, what will you be seeing? What will I be seeing? You'll be seeing money. The Lord will just show you, this client will pay. You say, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, there is more that God wants to do. I'm just saying, even if you use this for yourself alone,
There is no point. I'm just telling you, you will exhaust it. You will exhaust your needs. You will not scratch the gift. So everything God does, He's coming for it. He's gracing you for others. He's teaching you for others. That's why anytime we have meetings like this meeting we are having now, we have like Zoe, observe this and I'm telling you, towards the end of the meeting, you hear me talking like this. Go and do something. It's always a pattern that God taught me. Because that is not where He gathers people just for themselves. He doesn't do it. He gathers them for others. So, one of the ways to check whether any meeting worked in your life is, what did I do with everything I received? How did it help others? How did I impact others? So, Jesus used word of knowledge for this woman. Okay? Paul needed to get healed. He was blind because of the encounter on the way to Damascus. The Lord appeared unto Ananias and showed him that Paul was blind. And that was how Paul got healed. It's always for another person that God gives us. That was how Paul got healed. In Acts chapter 11, a famine was going to come upon the land. I think 27 or 28. And the Lord opened somebody's eyes. His name was Agabus. And Agabus prophesied in those days that the Bible said is signified by the Spirit. That there will be a famine. And in what? The Bible said that stood one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there will be a great death. So when he gave this prophecy, it went viral. In fact, they had to contribute money and contribute food and send to believers in Jerusalem so that they will not die of hunger. So it was a prophet, but it wasn't just for him. God doesn't reveal for you. God doesn't grace you for you alone. I can take you to many places where word of knowledge and word of wisdom was used. You will see it is for others. When Paul was traveling on the sea and he got to know that this ship was going to have problems, it wasn't just for him. He told the people. That's Acts 27 verse 10. He told them, "Sirs, let's not leave this place. So this ship," I said, he told them, "I perceive in the spirit that this voyage will be with much worth." He knew. Now, he didn't just know and kept it to himself. By the time they disobeyed him and continued, when it's already getting bad, he stood up again and told them, "Last night I had a vision. The Lord appeared unto me. It's for others, not for you." So that is a part of it that will bless you. That is a part where, you know, you use that for yourself and your family. But the bulk of what God is working out in your life is for others. So all this intelligence, all these abilities He filled you with is for others. This is about spiritual gifts, but I can link this teaching to many things. If we all think like this in this country, the country will get better in a very short time. People think they get things just for themselves. God doesn't make that deposit just for you. If every time you get a big blessing from God, thinking about others, let this be your watchword. God doesn't give you anything in abundance for you alone. It's not possible. It's not possible. That's why when people preach giving, people get angry. I don't know why you get angry. If you don't have, don't give. But if you have, you should give. Because God doesn't give you just for you to have for yourself. Are you following me, friends? Yes. That's the way we're preaching giving. We're preaching ministry. All this word of God, you know. Say, my pastor can teach. Our church is a word church. Your head will blow with revelation. It's not just for your life. People in the office need to hear it. Are you following me? People in your streets need to hear it. People everywhere need to hear it. He said, if you come to my church, you will learn how to see in the spirit. Thank God you can now see. What are you now going to do with it? Are you following me? Some of you, even your family members, I mean, basic nuclear family, don't even benefit from what God has put upon your life. That's why they have no respect and regard for you. Yes. Because today I'm going to call your mom and say, "Mom, I saw in the spirit yesterday. This, and this is going to happen. Don't do this." And it happens exactly as you said. You have respect. Big one. Yes. In my house, I'm respected. Not just my extended family, I'm respected. Do you understand? When it's read in the extended family, they remember that there is Pastor Henry that exists. They know. Do you know why?
I do not hold back anything. Recently, one of my aunties, they had an issue, and they brought them, the whole family here, to come and see me. Do you know why? Because many years ago, when the family was going through some serious recurrent death, people were just dying, I called for family prayer. As a boy, I just finished SS3. I just finished, as in 2009, I was a small boy. I said, I want every family, December, say, tell everybody in the family to gather. Yes. Everybody should gather. And they gathered. And I led them in prayer. And we stopped that thing. So there's a way you don't talk to me in the family. See today. So even your basic, your nuclear family have not benefited of the hand of God upon your life. You're just using it to say, I claim. Next time something happens, don't call pastor. Call them, say, let me pray for you. And if I speak a word over you, it's going to work. Don't say I'm interceding. Pray for them. Release the power of God. Don't say I'm interceding in the background. Or call from the background. Pray. See, you're in the background. Use what God has put in you for others. Use what you know in the spirit for others. God will reveal, but it's not just for you. Start with your class. Start with your friends. Start with where you go to preach the gospel. If you go to preach the gospel and you get to know by the Spirit that this and that, be bold to say it. Be bold to say it. Well, that's how it starts. Be bold to say it. I remember many years ago, I met a young man who was not a young man, he's even older than me anyway, but he was a young man, all of us were young. But he could prophesy. He had this, he could see in the Spirit. So I remember asking him casually, we're just sitting there, and I asked him, these things you see and you see, how do you see them? Just remember that now. How do you see them? He didn't have much answers to give me because he didn't have much knowledge, but he could see. Do you understand? And I told me, well, he explained a few things to me. And he told me, he said, when he started, I had the easiest way he does it is, he will tell you that he always says, I don't know, but see what I see. And that was safe for me. Because if I say I don't know, it means I'm not trying to claim I'm anything. I don't know. Now, don't talk like that. So that's doubt. But that's how you say, I don't know, but I think. And most of the thinking is not, it's not thinking. It's, so you have to be bold to say what you know. Are you following me? Be bold to say what you know. Hallelujah. Once you pray in the spirit over a matter and you get a word for someone, give that word. Be bold. God will not grace all of this for yourself. Give that word. It could be a friend in the office. It's why your friends in the office are going from one prophet to another prophet. Whereas they are in the same office with a prophet. You are there. And they are jumping from prophet to prophet. Because you've never dared to say what God has shown you. And if you are really here listening to me and you've been a believer for some time, you'll bear me witness. There are many things that happen in your office and in your class. Many of them you know before they happen. You will feel it. You will sense just that you don't say it. Are you following me? You don't say it. You don't say it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This intelligence is for the benefit of others. Bless people. Bless people with what you have. Bless people with that grace. Bless them with that gift. Pray in the spirit. Get interpretation. Be a blessing to people. That's the training we all have. That's the training we grew up with. That you learn to say what you saw by the spirit. Because God doesn't anoint you for yourself alone. Yes. And you'll be so shocked at how much impact it can make in people. One of the biggest things that shocked me when we started all this teaching on tongues and interpretation is how a simple statement you got by interpretation of tongues can change someone's life. You can just be praying and you're holding the person. And after you pray for the person, you just look at the person and say, you know what? The Lord said I should say, be encouraged. I'm aware of the situation. The person jumps up and begins to cry. You're wondering, you may not even know what you are saying. You know you can prophesy without knowing what you are talking about. Are you aware? Eh? That is right. It's biblical. I showed you recently. 1 Peter 1 verse 10 to 12. The prophets, they were searching. What manner of time? When they were prophesying, they were searching. What are we talking about? Who are we talking about? Do you understand? That was when the Lord told them it's for the future, not for you. So you can actually prophesy and don't know what you're saying. So you can just speak in my spirit. I can so that I can speak to you. I can speak in tongues. And the prophetic and the interpretation that I'm giving has no revelation. I don't know nothing. And I'm just telling you, the Lord said he will sort you out. Oh, there's going to be excitement. Excitement. Joy will show. And I don't know what I'm saying. But the good thing is, as I'm speaking those things, it's hitting a note. Because there is something I'm talking about. I don't need to know. That's why the easiest, let me tell you a simple hack to flowing in the spirit. Faith. Believe that what you heard is correct. Believe that what you know is of God. Believe it. Because the greatest fight of the devil is unbelief, doubt. So if I say now, talk to someone about what God has shown you. You just pray. What is coming to your heart at that time? You know, I explained this on Sunday. What is coming to your heart on that time is just God is going to bless you financially. And the next thing your mind is going to tell you is, you see, because this girl is not dressing fine, that's why I'm wishing her a financial blessing. Maybe it's just your mind playing with you. And you now negotiate, analyze it. Once you begin to analyze things of the spirit, you will lose them. They're not for analysis. They are for faith. They are for believing. Because if I tell you this, there are many things that God will tell you that if you analyze them, you can't say them. If you analyze them, you can't say them. Imagine if Elisha had analyzed that prophecy he gave. He said, by this time tomorrow, the price of things, imagine somebody comes and says, thus says the Lord, by this time tomorrow, fuel price will drop to 20 naira pump price per liter. If God ever tells you this, and you analyze it, even for 1 second, you cannot say it. Because that's kind of crazy prophecy that Elisha gave in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 7. He said, thus says the Lord, from tomorrow. It happened, the man on whose hands the king leaned said, even if God opens the floodgates of heaven and begin to pour down blessing, it cannot happen. Like she said, it's fine. It will happen, you will not see it. Not everything is open for analysis. Are you following me? Yes. You know, I was standing here and I said, you know, someone born in month of March and was the, I think, third boy or third girl. If I had thought about that word a little longer before I gave it, I should have known that. I know that. I know him now. I should have known that were you here on that Saturday? I should have known. And maybe once I now say, I will not say it. But if I say it, it now look like they are just for faith. Believe what God has shown you. Speak them forth by the Spirit. Are you following me? Because God will put some things on your tongue that will be so amazing that if you overthink it, you won't say it. Are you getting me? Don't analyze it. Just say it. It's faith. Faith is the hack for flowing in spiritual things. It's the hack. It's faith. Every spiritual, even healing, is faith. Because if you look at some sicknesses, you know, where they bring malaria for you. If you just look at the person who get malaria, you say, in the name of Jesus, shall heal. There are some sicknesses that they bring for you. If you look at that sickness and analyze it for 1 second, you will not pray. I've seen dangerous sicknesses. See somebody's leg. The leg was being eaten by maggots. And you have to pray. If you overthink it, you won't pray. Just start praying by faith. And once it comes to you to tell the person to get up, tell him to get up. You start thinking, my God's infested leg. Get up. It's by faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Say, I'm full of the Spirit. And it will benefit others. To benefit others. We have a short time. But we are just going to practice a little. So stand your feet. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to lead you to practice. Because there is something God has given you now in this meeting. For your neighbor. Maybe we extend this impartation to you tomorrow. So we'll just practice and we close. Tomorrow this flow continues. Is that okay? This flow continues tomorrow. Thank you. Just pray in the Holy Ghost in this place. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never failed me. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't stop. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my hands. My God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't stop. There's an opening in this place. I'm going to teach you this. I've taught it. It's time to practice it. With every breath that I am able, you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. Everything God does in your life, He will demand of it. That's the point I'm trying to make. He will demand of it. He will demand of it. He will. He will. You are making yourself available. You are praying. Saying, Lord, okay, I'm open. Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song forever to the Lamb. Make sure you're praying. You have 5 more minutes, so use it. All who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And your name is the greatest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, it stands above them all. My God. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Oh.
And your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, it stands above them all. Mandalaba Shandayaba. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. Oh, and your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, it stands above them all. Above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Pray, don't stop. I'm giving you, I have 3 more minutes. Use it. Pray, don't use it well. Pray, come on. Shambalada, as you are praying, what is happening is that you are opening up yourself to that intelligence. You're opening up yourself to that intelligence. So just pray. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Hi, 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 hi. My God, Abadogele Mandole Badole Baro Mandia Koraba Dingla Badea Esho Mandea Mandre Dozumandia. Hey, pray, open up yourself. Open up yourself. Hey, Amanda Shulade, Yaba, De Gobrandia, Solada, 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 Hey, Solada, Pambre, De Shola, De Andre, De Vilemo, Shadaba, Landera, Badia, Brade, Comeda, Yabe, Edebo, Debo, Edebo, Debo, Labadia, Dush. Oh, yes. Mandala Shiakatas. Bayala Shunendalaba. Yes. Let's get ourselves, as you keep praying, in circles. Circles of three. Circles of three. I don't want the pastors and ministers to be together. Just scatter yourself. Circles of three.
Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb.
Circles of three.
And worthy is the Lamb.
Some people this way.
You are holy.
Ooh.
And holy. Are you Lord God?
Just one person. And start praying too. Nothing else. Just hold them and start praying.
Say holy. Sing holy. are you, Lord God Almighty. So worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. And are you, Lord God Almighty. We say worthy is the Lamb. Woo! We say worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Just say holy. Oh, are you, Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You are praying. This time you are praying to interpret. You are praying to interpret. Because God is going to show you by the Spirit. You are praying to interpret. Keep praying until I ask you to stop. Keep praying. Don't stop. Just keep praying until I ask you to stop. Yes, yes, yes. Shadeyado Sanda. Keep praying. Eyaba shandele de bozada la bayandra de kolana de araba. Keyano shadaya. Shinda la bayalos. Shida bada 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 bada. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. God is putting thoughts. It's not just for you. God will give you a word for your neighbor. He will inspire you for your neighbor. Background. Yes. You can begin to thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You can begin to share with your neighbor. Yes. If one person should go first, whatever God puts in your heart for the group or for your neighbor, you share with the person, the other person will go first. So you can begin to share with your neighbor. Whatever the Lord puts in your heart for the person or for the group. So when you are done, the next person will take over. There's a word for everybody, from everybody in this place. So just go ahead. Oh, yes. So who is going first in every group? Because I'm going to share with your neighbor already. One person should go first, share with the other person whatever the Lord puts in your heart for the person. Because there is something. When we come together, everyone comes with something. In meetings like this. This is a believer's meeting. The connecting line between all of us is that we are all believers. So every believer has a word for another believer. It could be about their life. It could be about their business. It could be about their ministry. It could be about their environment. It could be about their family. It could be about their plans. It could even be about things you don't understand. Just dare to speak by the Spirit. And it's going to be so beautiful. You're going to see what the Lord is going to do in this place. Shandela Koranda Sude. You must speak boldly. So when you are done, another person should go. Everybody must give a word and receive a word. Woo! People online should participate with this too. Yes. Say what the Lord showed you. Say what the Lord inspired in your heart concerning that person. Say those things as they are coming. How do you do that? Speak from your spirit. That's what you do. You speak from your spirit. Already in this place, what you see, what you say is correct, so you shouldn't be afraid to say it. Jehovah,
Sickness in someone's body is becoming to your heart. You are actually right. Shuffle the circle. But there are more words I'm seeing in the spirit for some people. Shuffle the circle. If you are done with your circle, reshuffle the circle. Because God is pouring things in your heart. Speak to the group, you can speak to individuals. Quickly. Make sure your group is working. Make sure somebody is saying something to someone. The more mature person should go first, then others will follow. That's why some of you are in certain groups. It mustn't sound spectacular or exceptional. But it's the word of the Lord. God is speaking through you. Trust what you know. Trust what you see. You see, I'm giving time for this, but this is not just one of the things we do. This is very serious to us. God is using this to shift many people's destiny, to answer questions for people, to show people patterns that they must follow, to explain how it's going to be. You can say what you know. Yeah. Comfort sister. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If comfort sister is the right person, come. It is said to comfort sister. I've straightened the path before you that you must walk. Comfort sister. Here, across in all the centers, they say to comfort sister, I've straightened the path before you that you must walk. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh. You have 2 more minutes, use it well.
God, I'm still counting my blessings and all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time. I'm still counting my blessings, knowing I can't count them.
Listen, how many of you are blessed this evening? Did you get a word that blessed you this evening? Like, was this something? Was this something? Was this something? Can we give Jesus praise and rejoice in this place? Oh, yes.
God, arms, counting my blessings.
All that you've done in my life, the more that I look into detail, the more of your goodness I find. Find that on this side of heaven, I know that I've run out of time, but I'll keep finding my blessings.
Kind of meeting does to you is that it lets you see that God actually thinks about you. How many of you, the words you receive, they are the exact things that you had in mind or you are praying about? Does that not tell you that this is supernatural? It's not forged. Because if it was pastor saying it, it looked like, who knows? What is your fellow believer? Is God saying to you, I know about your case and I care about your case and I'm interested in your case? And if he brought the word, it's because he's already working on the matter. I say if he brought it, then he's working on the matter. And testimonies are abounding. Now, let me say this before we go. You should know what to do now, right? Two things the Lord said I should say. You should know what to do. What I mean is, these words are not just for you to receive them. Some of you have to act. Some of you have to take instructions. Some of you have to act on it. Some of you have to take correction. Change your focus. Some of you have to pray with them further. You get the point? Some of you just, you need to act on it. If not, it will just be yet another meeting for you. Are you getting the point? Act on it. Secondly, being able to speak to people like this by the Spirit is not limited to meetings like this. We just did it here so that you will see what you do outside. It's the same flow. You open up yourself. When God puts it to your heart, say it boldly. And you will see a lot of results. Are you following me? Are you grateful to God again for this evening? I said I was going to do many things today, but I don't have time again. So tomorrow will continue. So this Holy Ghost meeting continues tomorrow. So we'll see where God will carry us to tomorrow. And if we don't finish tomorrow, we continue to Saturday. But somewhere we must finish. Yes. I'm not going to cut the flow. So just be in the flow. Tomorrow will pick up. So tomorrow we'll have more time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Are you grateful to God? Did you receive a word? How many of you are privileged to speak a word to someone and it meant something to the person? Hallelujah. So you say, don't turn prophet. Because you are not actually blind. You are not deaf. You are not dumb. You are not spiritually dull.
So I'm not dull spiritually. You are not. You carry a supernatural intelligence. And with it you will bless your world. So I know by the Spirit. And I see by the Spirit. The testimonies from this meeting will abound. In the name of Jesus. How many of you got a word? Somebody gave you a word about a sickness that was on your body that God was bringing healing to. Let me see your hand. Anybody? Okay. Let me just take it. I want to see something. Yes. Was person correct? Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you got a word? Somebody gave you a word concerning something you are confused about and you got direction of what to do about it. Let me see your hand. Okay. Glory to God. How many of you got a word of encouragement from someone? Got a word of encouragement? Glory to God. Did it mean something to you? Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you, the word you received was about ministry? Your ministry. What God wants you to do. Raise your hand, let me see. You know, there's somebody that is saying to me every time they're giving this word. It's only ministry they used to tell me. You see that there is no other thing that God wants to use me to do. I just heard that from someone. It's nothing to feel bad about. Amen. Because even you too, every time you pray for yourself, it's me you used to get. So every time they pray for you, they'll get the same thing. So it's okay. You know what it means? Ministry prospers in your hands. Hallelujah. It's getting better. So I see by the Spirit, and I know in the Spirit. So I see in the Spirit, and I know in the Spirit. Said, I will bless my world with it. Lift your hand, just give Jesus praise. I'll see you tomorrow 5 p.m.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.